Hey guys, what's going on? This is CJ, from the Smarks. So before we start the show this week, I just want to give you guys a little bit of insight as to the show almost didn't happen. Earlier this week on Monday, about 4:30 in the afternoon, I lost my great aunt, Hilda, who It's just a super, super difficult and rough time for me and my family right now. However, I mean, immediately following her passing, I hit up Naj and Will and just let them know the situation. Excuse me if I'm a little choked up right now. But one of the things I said immediately after I informed them of what had happened was that the show was definitely going to happen this week. And my reason for that was she would never want me to put, that I was doing on hold or, take a week off because that just wasn't her style. My great aunt was the last of her sisters. And I feel like she was the last little bit of my grandmother who passed away about 5 years. It'll be 5 years the day before my birthday. 5 years ago, I feel like she was the last little piece of her that I had walking on this earth. But that neither here nor there. I definitely wanted to do this show this week in her honor and in her name because I know she would have wanted me to. And so I'm dedicating this episode of the show to her. Titi Hilda, I love you, I miss you, and gonna have a brief moment of silence for her before we start the show this week.
You good, bro?
Let's do it.
All right.
I know it's past visiting hours, but can I please give her these flowers? The doctor don't want to take procedures. He claimed my heart can't take the anesthesia. It'll send her body into a seizure. The little thing by the hospital bed, it'll stop beeping. Hey, chick. I'm at a loss for words. What do you say at this time? Remember when I was 9? Tell her everything gonna be fine, but I be lying. The family crying. They want her to live, and she trying. I'm arguing like, what kind of doctor can we find? You know the best medicine go to people that's paid. If Magic Johnson got a cure for AIDS, and all the broke motherfuckers passed away. You telling me if my grandma's in the NBA, right now she'll be okay. But since she was just a secretary, worked for the church for 35 years, things supposed to stop right here. My grandfather trying to pull it together. He's grown. That's where I get my confidence from. Asked the nurse, did you do the research? She asked me, can you sign some t-shirts? Bitch, is you smoking reefer? You don't see that we hurt, but still.
All right. Rest in peace. Rest in power. Rest in memories. Rest in love to Aunt Hilda. I've never met you, but CJ's part of my family, so that means your family to me. So we love you, and we miss you, and you're always going to be here in our hearts.
Right. Appreciate you, brother. Love you, man.
Love you too, man. So 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. It is another episode of Two Dope Smarks. I'm your boy, Naj.
And this is your boy, CJ.
And we are back at it another week, coast to coast.
Right. The second week, coast to coast. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Very special episode as well, because we've been saying we were going to do this episode for quite some time.
Yeah, we have. We were going to wait till season 2 to drop, but... after everything that's pretty much happened this week, it kind of feels like the right time to it before, you know, kind of do it before the second season. But a lot of things have happened, not just to us personally, but just
in the world. Like
in the world.
It's a crazy time in the world right now.
Crazy time in the world of wrestling, crazy time in the culture. It's
and just in society, just in general, man. It's just a crazy, crazy time.
But your boys, the Smarks, we here. We're gonna get you through it.
Right. So we're gonna get through this together, man. We're gonna get through this together.
Always and all days. So let's pick it up at Monday.
Oh man. So you know
8 o'clock, 5 o'clock my time.
Right. So I mean, this is all right. So, just to paint you guys a little bit of a backstory, obviously Monday was a very difficult day for me, but nonetheless, Monday was awesome, and that's because that was the first time that I got to sit and watch wrestling with, you know, my family, and it just felt like it used to when I was a kid. Like I got to sit there and watch wrestling with, you know, like.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Yo, we gotta give Seti a drop or something, man.
he's not even here right now. He should be on his way back soon. But yeah, Seti's, like I got to...
Seti's not even on his job. His first day on the job as our internet research guy.
Nah, he had to step out and handle something for school. So you know that's always comes first. So I give him a pass with that one.
Smarts are all about education, guys.
Right. But neither here nor there. Like you know, Monday was a very difficult day for that. However, you know, that all, you know, I got to actually watch Monday Night Raw. You know, despite everything that was going on, it was just a little bit of a distraction. And sometimes we all need that when going through those tough situations. But would I find safe haven in Monday Night Raw? Absolutely not. Monday Night Raw just made things that much worse. So the show opened up with a very, very shocking and very difficult and just, you know, heart-wrenching announcement by Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns on Monday night relinquished the WWE Universal Championship in order to step away and take time to fight off his returning leukemia. Yeah, so...
not Roman Reigns, but Joe Hanoi.
Yeah, exactly, Joe Hanoi. You know, that was very difficult to watch. I'll be honest with you, I still am not, you know, I still haven't grasped it, and I am still, you know, figuring out how to feel about it. So I guess now that we're talking about it, and it's the first time I've talked about it with anybody, I guess we're gonna figure this out together. So Roman Reigns is an interesting character.
He's a polarizing figure. Very polarizing.
Exactly. Very, very. He's somebody who we've, you know, at times loved and at other times have, you know, tore his ass up for things like he deserved. You know, most recently, Roman about the whole gas station incident where happened, you know, signed autographs for the fans and whatnot. And that's okay because that happens, especially in, you know, wrestling. You know, sometimes you hate a guy and sometimes you love him. That's the nature of the business. However, situation, all of that stuff gets put to the side because this isn't about a match or a rivalry or a brand or a pay-per-view or a finish or anything of that sort. This is a man who's stepping away from his dream and his career to fight for his life. I think I speak for all of us when I say Roman has our full support in this fight. We are pulling for him. We are for him and his family. Because this is very tough to even live in, man. Like, I don't think correct me if I'm wrong, Naj. I said he's not here to correct me. I don't think in the history of wrestling this has happened for a champion to relinquish the title because of an illness like this. Like,
yeah. Definitely. I haven't heard anything like it. Maybe I should have did a little bit more research, but that's what I thought we had Seti for. But yo man, to piggyback off of you, man, definitely. Roman Reigns is one of the most polarizing figures we've had in sports entertainment in quite some time.
Right, definitely.
It was, I remember marking out when I first saw The Shield. I remember marking out when I first saw him take on everybody in that Survivor Series.
Right.
Just the overall first run of The Shield, like, Roman was like that dude.
He was the guy. He was the guy.
Then, you know, Seth, you know, turned against The Shield and, you know, and everybody changed, but he didn't.
Right.
And I think, and when everybody has always asked me about why I was so, like, against Roman Reigns at first, it was one of the, that was one of the reasons. The fact that
right.
we never got to see him, his character evolve outside of The Shield.
Spread his wings, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got to see Seth as the Kingslayer, and, you know, I didn't sell out, I bought in. We got to see the Lunatic Fringe as far as, you know, Dean Ambrose and everything. But we never saw, it just felt like it was the same channel
right,
with Roman Reigns. And after a while, like, I've even said on the show that I was slowly becoming a Roman fan because it took a while, but Roman actually let his character, let Joe, I feel, shine through Roman after a while.
Right.
Like, we said on the show, like, we love the chains, and, you know, we're from New York. You know, so anything about, like, jewelry to a point, like,
right.
We love the gold chain. We love the gold bracelet. We love that swag he had to him to a certain point now. It was something different. Like, it was really different this for the past couple months that I saw with Roman that made me, like, actually like him.
Right.
So when this came about, one, I heard about it through our group chat because everybody was watching Raw, and as everybody knows, Najee is in California, so Najee's so
behind.
I'm 3 hours behind, so I don't get to see Raw until 8 Cali time. So, like, I'm going through this with everybody at 5 o'clock, and, like, people don't, like, I'm super emotional right now.
It's like watching everybody get hit by a train, and then, you know, the train is coming for you 3 hours later.
Exactly. It's like having the premonition. It's like, yep. Like you on some Final Destination.
Type yep.
So, when it happened, I was choked up. I was immediately choked up. I had already watched it before, but watching it again was just, oh my God. Like, it just, I felt sucker punched.
Yo, now for nothing, you could see, like, you could visually see when he made the announcement, it was like the fucking air got sucked out of that arena.
Yeah, everybody like, was ready. Everybody was ready to boo him. Everybody was ready to boo.
Even the small boo chants that were still going on was like, wait, what did he say?
This fool say he had leukemia? And when I say fool, like, I always say stuff like fool.
Right.
You know.
Disclaimer. Yeah. He doesn't mean fool. Like, he's actually a fool. He means fool, like, you know, guy, individual person. Yeah.
So it was really like, yo, like, and all of us, you know, me, Will, CJ, we've all in our families have dealt with cancer. You know, so with cancer, it strikes us a little differently.
It hits close to home, definitely.
You know, it definitely hits close to home. Like, we don't play with that at all. We don't play with no cancer jokes, none of that. So when somebody says they have cancer, we really take that serious. So when I, like, it really hit me. And like you said, man, we are 100% behind Joe, not Roman Reigns, behind Joe and his fight with leukemia. God bless his family. God bless the Noy family.
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, I know I've had some words about, you know, The Rock or whatever, but I've always, you know, like I've said before, I've always respected the Noy family.
Right.
And you know, and in the Atu family, excuse me. So, well, both, excuse me. It's just, I don't even know how to even come around with this, man. It's just crazy, man.
You know what it is also? Like, I went back and I watched the announcement again, and it was like, he even admitted himself, like, you know what I'm saying, there had been times where he had been a little brash or a little bit cocky or, you know, but what I think stood out to me the most was the fact that he came before the crowd, not even in character. Like, you can't even say that was Roman Reigns. That was
He came out with jeans and the shirt and everything. Like, I never seen that before.
And you know what it is? Even with the jewelry, even with, like, because, you know, that's kind of relates to us. But even still with all of that, he was still, like, a super humble. And, like, you got to see the side of the man behind the character. This is what all the superstars are always talking about, where they say, you know, he's a class act. Exactly. He's a locker room leader. Like, you know, it kind of showed. And it was like, yo, like, that was kind of like a reality check almost. Like, yo, not for nothing, you, because I'll be the first to tell you, I'm very vocal in the fact that I do not like how Roman was booked. I do not like him receiving all of those championship opportunities. You know, at one point I had bought in because I was like, yo, if you're going to give him all of those opportunities in a year, just fucking make him champion already. But even for a guy like me who has been so vocal about the dislike I've had for this guy, I'm still honest enough with myself to say, yo, what he did on Monday night was not only honorable and respectable, but that was relatable. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've lived through that. I watched my grandmother while she had cancer. I'm pretty sure, you know, I have people in my immediate circle who I love and care about that have watched others suffer from this. Like, it was
one of our closest friends, Mia, just
right.
Just
exactly. Yeah.
Been in remission for 2 years. Shout out Mia.
Right. You know, like, it's one of those situations where it's like, yo, like, this is, because, again, understand, like, you know, it's
this
it's
ain't some sports entertainment no more. This is real.
Exactly. Life. Like, this is real life now. Like, this is, like, this is a man stepping away for his life, and understand that while we're all praying for him and, you know, really hoping and wishing he pulls through, there is that reality and that chance that he could lose this fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the elephant in the room. That's the part that nobody wants to talk about. It's that real. He could very well never step foot in another WWE ring ever right. again.
And just, you know, and think about that. It makes me, I was thinking about this earlier today when I was reading over the format. I was like, damn, you know, what if we went about this whole journey of him getting to the chip all wrong? Like, I have to look at these matches now a certain way. Because, like,
right, you have to go back and rewatch and see if it makes sense now.
Yeah, because, like, look at what happened on Monday, and when he got in there, it just, like, the story is just is an even crazier story, and it didn't even mean to be.
Right,
you know. They was already trying to set you up as the man who, you know, who's overcame everything right. to get the title. But still, you don't realize what everything was until exactly. he announced a
now
couple weeks later.
Now everything makes sense. Right.
Until, you know, he announces a couple weeks later that he has to relinquish the title. Like, this isn't like when Finn did it 24 hours later the next day. You know, this is a little, you know, and I said in the group chat, like, a couple hours like after Raw, I made the correlation where I thought, to me at the time, I thought that, you know, hearing that announcement was like Magic Johnson's announcement. Not the fact that it's like, I'm not saying that, you know, how what Magic did or, you know, that having HIV is anything less than leukemia. I'm not, they're both crazy diseases. I remember where I was. When I, you know, for the OG announcement, not the OG announcement, right. I mean the Magic Johnson
announcement.
And I'm also going to remember where I was when Roman Reigns announced he had leukemia.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, it's just those moments that just stick with you, where you're just like, yo, did that just happen? Like, because I remember, like, right. as a little kid, like, seeing people around me, like, yo, did he just say what he said? What he just said?
Yeah.
Like, because before, yeah. This is before Easy. This is before Easy came out and said he had AIDS. And he didn't even get to come right. out. He just died. You feel me?
Right.
So when you see an announcement like that, especially in our community as Black men, you hear somebody who has HIV in that time, you're like, wait a minute, what? And now, yeah. you know, with leukemia, which cancer is really strong in African Americans, and, you know,
right.
it's just, this is like, damn. It's like, wow. It's just like, this is like, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll throw some prayers out to Joe and his family, man. it was cool seeing some of the stories, and some of the, you know, people paying homage, like Jay doing, or I think it was Jimmy doing the Superman cock, you know, punch cock, during the frog splash. Seen everybody's different stories of him on Twitter, but Aleister Black, good God.
Oh my God, that was, yeah, Aleister Black's post was
like he kind of broke a brother down. Like, this man was genuinely like that dude. Like,
it's crazy for him to even break character, because he started his post with, you know, I'm not,
yeah, Aleister doesn't break character at all.
I'm not normally a guy to do this. Like, I don't do this.
And it was just, man, wow. Yeah. Like,
see how, like, even other promotions, like Ring of Honor, like, you know,
Tama Tonga from NJPW, who him and Roman was going at each other on Twitter for a minute a couple months ago.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, fuck that. That's what's real is, you know, you got my support, and, you know, like, which I thought was super dope. Madison Square Garden, home, you know, just throwing up on the screen.
Facts.
You know, it's eye-opening, man. I really, really, really hope that this guy can overcome this and come back stronger and better than ever. Because I'll tell you one thing. As a guy who made it a point to fly out to New Orleans for WrestleMania to boo Roman Reigns, and I will be the first to tell you that if this man, by the graces of whatever higher power you believe in, should he come back and
step foot into... I'll be ready to boo him. I'll be so ready to boo him.
We're not just going to boo him, but I'm going to cheer the guy who, you know, fought for his life and, you know, came back.
No, man, I'm not booing. Like I'm saying, like... I'm not booing Joe. I'm booing Roman Reigns, man. Because one is the cool thing to do, but, like, you know, hey, man, that's kind of tied to him. It's like the you suck.
I was just about to say, it's like the you suck with Kurt Angle. Like,
with Kurt Angle, does, just those suck. Boom. You just boom. But no, man. He's gonna get like we were saying in the chat. He's gonna get that white hot, like, bigger than Triple H in 2002.
Facts.
Pop. When he does come back, it's gonna be bigger than Hardy Boy's pop. It's gonna be bigger than AJ Styles' pop.
Right.
It's gonna be a.
That's
big
gonna be
pop.
A month, and I hope we're in the building for that. That's gonna
be, like,
a monster of a pop.
The roof is gonna come off wherever.
That being said, now that we got that out the way, after that. I would say that Raw was kind of bittersweet. There were definitely some good matches. Drew McIntyre coming out and kicking the shit out of Braun Strowman out of nowhere. I thought that was funny as hell. Like, yeah. You didn't even see him up behind him. All you saw was his big ass body and his leg connect. Who else? You know, it just felt like a very solid show up until the fucking end.
It felt like the Owen Hart, the Monday Night Raw after Owen Hart.
After,
passed.
Yeah, the incident, yeah.
Yeah, where it just kind of felt like things were just going with the motions.
Right up until the end.
Right up until the end, yeah.
So, the main event on Monday night was the Shield, the remainders of the Shield. Rollins and Dean Ambrose took on Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Was a great match, excellent match.
The storytelling of that match was crazy.
Exactly. Storytelling was on point. You know, they came out in the Shield gear. It was dope. Match ends. Seth and Dean, new tag team champions. Celebration in the ring. Titles everywhere. You think it's a storybook ending on the night that Roman relinquishes the title and announces that he has to go away to fight this leukemia. You think that everything is, you know, fairy tale ending and everything. And then... Dean Ambrose heel turn happens.
Swerve.
Dean Ambrose.
Yo, Tyler Perry couldn't even wrote it no better.
Yo, it was honestly, that was like a good point of that day. Like I put it in the group chat and everything. I was like, yo, if you're gonna do a heel turn,
you have to do it
fucking, yeah. That's how you do a heel turn. Like, this man went from face to nuclear heat in 2 minutes that he beat the shit out of Seth.
Yeah, he beat it. The 2 minutes felt like it was an hour.
Forever. Like, he beat the shit out of Seth.
People weren't talking. Like, it was just like, it was crazy. And it was
dope to see, because even like the lines between storyline and reality get blurred, because you even had people posting online, like, yo, not tonight, bro. No, like, you could have held off.
Why?
The turn until another night. Not tonight. Why? And it's like, tonight was the perfect night to do this. Like, are you shitting me? Like,
it was supposed to be for Survivor Series.
Yo, he is really a top heel in the industry. Fuck the business. Like, fuck WWE. He is one of the top heels in the industry right now.
Can we really say that after we got to get through? Can we get through Wednesday before, you know, we talk about as far as nuclear right now?
Bro, how do you have to be to do a heel turn on a night like that?
It's not even just that. It was I shared this thread in our chat as well. It's this thread about like how this heel turn has been slowly happening since Seth's heel turn.
Yeah. I put
and,
that
and they were talking about and like and there were even hints. There's a cancer, there's a sickness. And it was Seth. But as time went on, this anger, this sickness or whatever keeps, it's inside. You know what? You think you beat it at one point and you think everything's good until you realize that all you have is that anger. And then that's, you just attack.
I have another question though. I have a theory, right?
Okay.
I have to ask you this. Is Dean really a heel, though? Is he really a heel?
I think he's a heel right now in the way of we view Becky Lynch as a heel.
You know what? But I'm asking, the reason I'm asking, is he really a heel? Because in all actuality, all he did really was return the favor.
The same could be said about Becky Lynch.
Exactly. Like, Seth signed up for this the minute he turned.
And that's what it is. It's the sympathetic villain, like the antagonist that's sympathetic because you're sympathetic to the cause. You know the cause. They're still the bad guy, but you sympathize with it. You understand. Right. You're like, yeah, I can see why. Yeah,
right.
Like with Killmonger. Like with Killmonger, you saw why with. You know, other villains in the past. You saw why. And with this... I'm sorry.
Right now, kayfabe CJ, I'm like, Dean is an asshole. Dean is the scum of the earth. He's right down there with Ciampa, and we're going to talk about some more heel turns that happen later this week that we've been telling you guys about for fucking months. But he's right there on there with all those guys right now. However, if Dean were to come out next week and he were to say to kayfabe CJ and the rest of the WWE Universe, all I did was just get Seth before he got me again. I'm on Dean's side again. That's the absolute truth. If you were put in his situation, it would be that kind of deal too.
I just can't wait to hear him talk his shit. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, at this point...
Because I like Swole with the fade Ambrose.
Right. And he honestly... Who doesn't? Who wouldn't want heel lunatic fringe? Like, who doesn't want that?
Whoever is the black barber doing Dean's bid and his fade, keep him around, keep him on the payroll,
right?
Because I'm digging Dean Ambrose's the nice shape up with the fit. Yeah, I keep that around, but don't grow this nigga hair out.
So, hand in hand with the Dean Ambrose, came a couple of face turns. You know, Elias turned face on fuck is this guy, Baron Corbin, cracked him in the head with the guitar.
Yeah, that was good.
Braun Strowman turned face, cut a crazy promo about how Roman Reigns is a respectable stand up guy and he'll be, you know, first in line for a title shot when he comes back. However, it's going to be Braun that goes over at Crown Jewel, and he's going to beat Brock Lesnar, turn face with that. All of this as a result of Roman having to step away for a while. I don't know, man. How about Elias becoming a face and Braun becoming a face again?
I say it makes sense for Braun, because Braun right now is he's over. He's super over, and he was even over as a heel. But yeah, you need that guy who's going to carry the company. I feel like this is a moment where Braun can carry for a minute. I feel like right. he's definitely bankable. You can put him in the interviews. I've seen a couple of interviews. I think he looked good in the suit. You know, if need be, like what you need him to do as far as go over and represent the country, you know, the company. It makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, I'm with that. And I'm just looking forward to him and Drew McIntyre getting it on, because that's gonna be
crazy.
I'm ready for that. Eliza's heel turn. Also, I wish it could have just been handled better. It felt rushed, but the heel turn, I understood why they did it, but it just felt rushed at that moment. Right. Like y'all could have did something else.
They could have built it better.
Yeah. Who's more over, you know, than Elias right now? Just that natural over, you know, and he's, you know, before we've seen it face up close.
Live,
how he gets heat. He's going to definitely go on when he's, you know, when he starts coming out now. It's going to be great. With Roman going out, you kind of solved a couple problems. I don't want to call it this, but it kind of is like it right now where you just plugging in some holes right now, you know.
Right.
You know, you welded that cover over that leak right now. So just go hold. We'll see just how go hold goes. For a minute. You know, just right. gonna hold for a minute. You know, then we'll see by like what Survivor Series, like when we start getting into the big, you know, when it's money time around Survivor Series, we're gonna start seeing like how shit's gonna, you know, start shaking.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, that was a very emotionally exhausting episode of Monday Night Raw. And I'll be honest with you, SmackDown was on the losing end of the stick this week. Not only did I not tune in, I didn't even catch the highlights on YouTube. I literally just Googled and read up on what had happened.
I just, nothing... the only thing I saw was the tribute that Jimmy did off the rope, and I didn't see anything else.
Right, yeah, so it was very, very... low-key episode of SmackDown, if you will. It was very, under the radar. And then, some more interesting stuff happening on the A-Show. NXT, you know, they have Matt Riddle debuting next week. Mia Yim
With Lana's music. Yeah.
Mia Yim debuted this week. Undisputed Era.
Yo, hold up. You know what? I'm sorry. WWE, NXT, Regal, H, my guys, Sean, Matt Bloom. Why the fuck y'all keep putting Aaliyah out there, dog?
Yeah, I knew you were.
If y'all keep, I swear, like, stop fucking putting her out there, yo. She can't wrestle at all. Like, I don't get, like. She's changed her character at least four times.
Yeah, she did.
Four times.
In a very short time.
In a very short time that she's been in the E. And it's just right. Like, yo, you just not getting over something. Like, I'd rather them drop you. I mean, not even drop. I'd rather them put you in, you know.
Put her as a valet. Put her as somebody who's manager.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Put her with gender. She kind of makes sense more than what they're doing with that whole Alicia Fox, Shanti thing or whatever.
Right.
You know, so. Put Aaliyah in there put Aaliyah with Daivari. That could work out too. Cause is Daivari working right now? Is he doing anything at 205 Live?
I don't think so. I haven't seen him on 205.
That could be a little, you know, they could have like a little Vega almost kind of thing. That could work.
That could work, actually. Daivari is a pretty solid worker in the ring. So
exactly. And
Yeah, that could, actually, I didn't even think about that. That could actually work very well.
Also, I'm digging the push that they're giving Lacey Evans. I'm really appreciating that. I like Lacey Evans. That women,
I know you do.
That women's right is. Remember when you saw Big Show knocking niggas out with the WMD?
Yeah,
you like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
The mass destruction.
Yeah, you like, oh, shit, you fucked them up. That's how I feel like when she be clocking them. Like, I'm like, damn, she just fucked them up. Like, and it's just a girl, like, a girl who's not like Shayna Baszler or Ronda Rousey, you know, throwing her right. She's throwing her right. Like, and she looks like a lady, even though she, you know, she's a Marine.
Right.
Like, she's throwing that right. And it's just it's crazy.
So did you catch NXT, by the way?
I did watch. I watched NXT this morning.
So you got to see the end.
Yeah, I saw the end and I thought it was cool. War Games is gonna be crazy.
Absolutely. So for those who haven't, you were about to get the show spoiled for you because you haven't done your due diligence this week. So to close the show at NXT, we've been getting we've been getting hints for weeks from what's her?
Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross. Yeah, thank you. I can't believe I drew. Give me a matter of fact. It's been a rough week, all right? Been getting hints for weeks from Nikki Cross, saying that she knew who had attacked Aleister Black. She also him last week. So to close the show, we got to close the show, to just paint you guys a little bit of a background, William Regal comes down to the ring to make an announcement. He's cut short by Tommaso Ciampa, who feels like he should be part of the announcement and it should be about his opponent for War Games. Tommaso Ciampa gets cut short because Velveteen Dream comes out and throws his name in the hat. Velveteen Dream gets cut short because Lars Sullivan throws his name in the hat. And then, before any of this can explode any further,
Nikki Cross runs in the ring.
Oh yeah, Nikki Cross runs
Paul
in the ring
Revere.
And says that he's coming.
The English is coming.
Yeah,
Aleister is coming.
She says
Aleister is coming.
She said. She says that Aleister is coming, and then Aleister rushes the building, roundhouse kicking everybody in under the fucking sun like
you
Chuck
know what
Norris.
That reminded me of. You remember Head of State?
What? Oh, hell yeah, nigga. Bernie Mac slaps everybody on the train platform.
Yo, what up, bow?
Yo. Nah, the Asian security dude got it the worst. Yo,
camera
the one by the door.
Got it the worst, son. Camera bro and Lars.
So,
got it.
Yeah. Lars was pretty bad. So, Aleister storms the ring. Corners William Regal asking, where is he? Obviously, we're all in the dark. Like, who the fuck are you talking about? Who is he? Finally reveal it. And then Aleister turns around to reveal Johnny Gargano, hits him with a super kick, grabs the microphone and says, I'm right here. Seemingly confirming that Johnny Gargano is the man who attacked Aleister Black in the parking lot, and thus confirming his heel turn. Like the Smarks have been telling you jerk offs.
Hey,
since
y'all know
the
slogan, what I always tell y'all about shit. When I be telling y'all shit, I'm gonna tell y'all the slogan one more time. Listen to me now. Believe me later on. I'm telling
Yo, shout out to the shit when we do. Like Matt and those guys, they really hit us up and be like, yo, you know, I agree with you guys. I definitely see that happening. You know, we always, when we get called, when we make these crazy predictions and shit, we're always getting called out like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And, oh, good job of fantasy booking and all of this shit. No, we really be knowing some shit. We really be knowing when some shit is going to go down. It wasn't like we predicted this when the spoilers for the tapings came out or anything of that sort. We were predicting this for a while.
It's just real niggas peeping out the scene.
Right.
And Ciampa came out with a statement.
Oh, that statement was dope too. I saw that earlier today on Twitter.
The statement, and I quote, May 2017, 2 days before TakeOver Chicago, where DIY will take on Authors of Pain in a ladder match for the NXT tag team titles, I suffered a severe ankle sprain. Within 24 hours, the NXT fan base was prepared to replace me, suggesting replacement after replacement to tag with Johnny. My eyes were suddenly opened. The NXT fans are weak and fickle. They are pathetic. Going into TakeOver Chicago, Johnny knew better than anyone how I felt in regard to our fans, but his eyes were still closed. He was still blind. That night after we lost, I looked Johnny in the eyes one last time, and I knew he wasn't ready to see the light. Johnny was still blinded by the fake admiration of the NXT scum. I never hated Johnny. I just hated what he represented. After last night's episode of NXT, it is clear Johnny has finally seen the light. Johnny Wrestling is dead, but Johnny Gargano has never been more alive. God damn it.
Yep. And I'm going to be the first to say it right now. If we get a Johnny Gargano Tommaso Ciampa reunion and we get a heel DIY, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He just showed you, Vince, this is how you build a month-long storyline. This is how you build. This is how you do it.
This is not even months now. This is years. We're talking like a good year and a half almost.
No, I'm talking, well, okay, you can say that about Gargano and what you call it, Ciampa, but I'm talking about this whole Aleister Black thing.
Oh, yeah, but hell yeah. What? This is a couple months in the making now. This is like, what, 3-4 months?
Yeah. And it really, like, what I've heard is that they really didn't know what they were doing in the beginning. They really didn't know. But this is just when you let something breathe and just like, all right, let's see what happened, what we can do with this.
And then we'll revisit this.
Like, let's see what we can do. And I just, job well done, Sean, H. Job well done.
Very well done.
Because now, like, this is a whole tangled web of crazy-ass shit. I don't know what the hell is about to happen. I
love how they even hinted at it with the costumes and shit for the takeovers. Like, when Johnny Gargano came out with the fucking Spider-Man gear with the Venom symbiote, like, slowly creeping up over it. Dog, like, come on. How many, like, that's a fire-ass subtle hint right there.
Yeah. When you really look at it, when you really think back, and you, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why wrestling is fucking cool. This is why we mark out. This is why the smarts are the smarts. This is why it happens.
Absolutely.
Is storylines like this. If you ask me why I love wrestling, I will show you this right here. If they could make a montage of this whole thing happening, I would show them that. Like, how isn't that great television? How isn't that great? Like, drama, suspense, like, you're exasperated. Like,
it's... For me, it's definitely the same, and I think it's incredible how, even in as bad of a situation as I currently am in, how watching wrestling and, you know, watching a show can take your mind off things for an hour or two at a time and really, you know, not only entertain you, but kind of like distract you from reality.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely, you know, in one of the worst weeks of my life, it was also one of the better weeks simply because of how storylines work. Isn't that interesting how, you know, as bad as stuff can be in reality, at least for the time that you get to escape and be away and entertain yourself for a bit, it can be amazing. So, yeah, that's to reiterate why wrestling is fucking awesome.
There. You're welcome.
And that pretty much wraps up the week in wrestling because we don't give a fuck about anything else that's happened.
No. Not at all.
So, do you want to take a break and jump into the culture segment, or do you want to, I don't know, jump right in, or do you want to give a brief, like, description of what we're going to do with the culture section for this week, or I don't know. How do you want to take this, bro?
Let's just take it head on, like we always do. Let's just take it head on.
Right. So, the reason episode, we said that this was going to be a special episode that we've been saying we wanted to do for a very long time and that we were finally going to do it, is because this is also the mental health awareness episode of Two Dope Smarks. So basically for the culture section this week, we're going to talk about mental health awareness and why it affects people who aren't aware, how it affects music, pop culture, movies, you know, the world, entertainment. And not only that, just how it affects everyday people like me and you. As somebody who has dealt with, depression and a bunch of other things in the past, I'm sure, you know, Naj has his own stories that he can tell you about his battles with his demons. Just like everybody in the world, I think that not only is mental health a lot more real than people like to believe, I think it's also a lot more common. It's one of those things where, and you know, in the group chat that we, I mean me, Naj, and Will, our good brother Will, in the group chat that we have, you know, there's been a couple times where we've even talked about it ourselves amongst each other, and you know, a lot of the time, not only is you normal things that actually make state of people's mental health, and you know, all of these different issues that people whatever the case may be, a lot of the time people tend to not talk about their feelings and when they are feeling depressed and when they are going through something and when life is really tough. A lot of times, especially amongst men, we choose to not talk about things out of a sense of, you know, machismo or something, you know, it's not, then, you know, admit broken down, you know, that you're going through the ringer a little bit. And, you know, even amongst ourselves, like there's times where we deal with things individually and, you know, turning to that support system and saying, hey, look, man, you know, really need help. A lot of the time we just try to, you know, bottle that shit up and keep it moving. And that's really, it really does people realize. Naj has his own interactions and, you know, stories that he wants to share about his brushes with mental health awareness and dealing with that.
Mental health, I believe it is a big problem in our community, especially amongst, you know, men who are minorities. It's just, in my dealings, you don't really know what it is, but you don't know what it is. You just know that something's wrong. And in our community, like, we don't really go to doctors. We don't go to therapists and, you know, psychoanalyst or, you know, we can't afford to go to that.
Right.
The closest thing I really had to that was a guidance counselor, maybe. And you really don't have a guidance counselor like that. And I was never really the one to like to open up to, especially to teachers and stuff like that. So that was never gonna happen. When you're faced with that, and you have these type of things going on, finding help is, you know, it's zero to none. So you're just going through this whole line to what's going on. I can say that if it wasn't like without the military, and talking to people, I would never know what was going on with me, you know, how I suffer from depression, you know, how I do go through, you know, bouts with bipolar disorder. Like, these things, you know, it, even then, it was kind of like weird because just, you know, wow. But, you know, these things are very real, man. I have challenges every day. Every day. It is a constant battle sometimes in myself. Because there's a lot of times where I feel like I'm right or about something. It could be an argument or whatever. And everybody can be like, yo, nah, you're kind of tripping. And I'm like, no, but I'm right, or whatever. You just... And then in other situations where you could just... Something can happen and you misinterpret the whole situation and everybody can tell you that you're bugging, but you feel like you're not bugging. And it's the craziest feeling in the world to feel something like, and nobody feels the same way you do. You kind of feel right. You kind of feel attacked. You kind of feel like, you know, alone. You know.
Right.
So I know I'm usually the one who I usually jump out the window a lot of the times, and it has to be like CJ and friends like, yo, come on. Because I'm more of a shoot first, ask questions later kind of guy.
Right.
A lot of people like to say I'm defensive, but I feel like I'm offensive.
I was just about to say, you know, the shoot first, ask questions later. Sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. But I'm very sensitive to a lot of things. You know, it's more than like what Erykah Badu said, that I'm going to keep in mind, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true as well. But in my case, I could want to merge my vision. If I feel disrespected about whatever, I'm just playing. But like, I take that shit seriously to heart. That's what I mean to say. Like, I take things seriously to heart. And I don't medicate, so to speak, like, as far as, you know, medicine, pills, whatever. I don't do that. I did for a minute. I didn't like how I made me feel. I just felt tired. And this, you know, and I didn't, and the horror stories about, you know, Valium, or what's the another one? Not Percocet, Xanax. And I said, like, I already heard about it, like, way before Future and then we started talking about it, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I already heard about it. I was like, nah, I'm not trying to do that. I didn't like the way it made me feel. So that's why I smoke weed a lot. And that's why locate your light is a real thing with me. Because I feel more alert. I feel more clear. And I feel that I can, trying to think of the word, I can relate to people better. I can relate my words and what I want to say to people without, you know, just jumping at the first thought. I can just, okay, let me put this together so I can say it so they understand where I'm coming from. Where I'm just not crazy spouting off shit and people just saying, yo, nah, just bugging out.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of men go through that. I feel like a lot of men feel that way. I feel like, you know, more often than most. And, you know, I feel like there should be people should get checked, man. People should definitely talk to somebody. I was having a conversation with my friend a couple months ago about, like, yo, we should really talk to each other more, because we never, not the fact that we don't know how long we're going to be here, it's just that we don't know what the other person's going through. Something, just a simple conversation could save a life, could change your outlook, could do anything if we just talk to each other. You know, so many people in this world feel alone.
Right.
And feel like nobody's behind them, nobody's, you know, nobody understands them. But if we just talk to each other and not, don't judge and just talk. Excuse me. We'd be a lot better. Our mental health would be better. And I also feel like it's just different times now. The cell phone, man, social media. Like, we don't really talk to each other a lot. If we talk to each other,
right,
it's through text, tweeting, Facebook, whatever.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
we don't it's hard for us sometimes to look up from our phones and talk to each other. And we could be right across the table. There's been times
we don't interact as much as we should.
What happened?
I said we don't get to interact as much as we should.
There's been times like during WrestleMania weekend where like we were all on our phones at one point. And nobody was talking. This is when I looked, I was like, yo, and we're like, oh shit, what's happening?
Right.
Yeah, social media's definitely gotten in the way of us, you know, talking to one another. And I think, you know, more conversations can help a lot. Because I definitely...
Oh, you're breaking up, bro.
Can you hear me now? Am I still breaking up?
I hear you now.
I'm saying that I've had... Am I still breaking up? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now.
Okay.
Yep, hear you now.
All right, I'm just saying that... I felt like I needed somebody to talk to, and you know, if it wasn't for y'all that are there sometimes, then I know I definitely would feel like I'm losing it, because to have that support system there,
right,
you need it. And I feel like social media sometimes, you know, without social media, right, I would have never met CJ, met Mia, Andy, so many people, you right, know, and, you know, that is family to me now. I would have never met them, but it has the personal relationships.
Right, because, you know, there's the double-edged sword of it where now we know each other and it's such a close family, like a close-knit family, that most of the time we don't even communicate on social media. If me and Naj are communicating on social media, it's us going back and forth on Twitter about something, or because 9 times out of 10, we just text each other. You know, like it's really that real now. Like, if I need to speak to Naj before, I would have, you know, hit him up on the inbox or, you know, put up a post or something like that. Whereas now, if I need to speak to Naj, I'm going to call him or I'm going to send him a text message or, you know, like I reach out to him like I would a family member, as opposed to somebody that I just know off of social media. And again, like to reiterate what he said, there's been plenty of times where each of us have dealt with, I mean, even now, I haven't spoken to Will all day. I put up a post earlier on Facebook talking about how I was having a hard time focusing at work today. And I got a lot of comments on it, but Will commented on it like, yo, if you need to, hit my line. That's all I needed to hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, Naj texted me, like, what was it, a day ago or 2 days ago? Like, yo, bro, I know you got a lot going on, but if you need me, just call me. Like, a lot of people don't understand that something as small as that sometimes is all the person needs to hear. And the actual conversation doesn't even need to go down. But the fact that you know that you have that option, and you have that person that's willing to sit there and listen, and you have that person that is there, that is genuinely concerned, that does care about you, that does love you. That's, you know, that sometimes that's all a person actually needs to overcome whatever it is that they're dealing with internally.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I just, mental health, man. I know we talk about Cuddy. And, you know, we talk about Kanye, you know, and all these people right, like that. But before we look to people like these bigger-than-life characters like Cuddy, like Kanye, we should look at us a little bit more. I started to notice this a lot. I don't mean to segue, but I'm just saying, like, we look to our, you know, these icons, we look to these, you know, these larger life characters, these people who honestly are just people just like us. And we look to them for answers. It's like, right, we look to them for like, all right, man, like, what do I do now? You know,
what do I do now?
And when they don't do what we think they're going to say or do, we're crushed. And our, it's like...
Right.
Here's a bowl of realness. Before my father was the greatest dad on the planet, my father, you know, he was caring. Mm-hmm. He was strict. He was hard, but he was fair. He was funny on a low. He was one of the first people to start bringing DJ Clue tapes and bringing them down to South Carolina and selling them out of his trunk. People was loving it at the time. That's what Najee, from he was born, thought on my 13th birthday when my father told me that my father died of a heroin overdose. I always thought my father died of a heart attack. These are the out from an overdose. I never knew my dad did drugs. As I kind of got older, I kind of realized that my dad sold drugs, but I never knew that my dad did drugs. And for a while, my vision of him changed. Like, the perfect picture I had of this man crumbled. And that's just how it is sometimes when we look at these people and they don't do what we think they're going to do, or they say the opposite of what we think they should do, we get crushed. Like, I'm not defending Kanye at all. You know, I think Kanye's comments are wrong. I think there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. But at the same time, I realize that Kanye is just like me. He may not be on the same social or pay scale or whatever, you know, but he's just like me. He has his own views. He has his own thought process. And yeah, he has right. his battle with mental health as well, but you know, maybe he needs to talk to more people. You know, maybe, you know, I could imagine somebody like Kanye West could be lonely. It could be lonely, even in a room of people, because I felt this way too. In a room full of people, you could feel lonely. You could feel lonely as fuck, man. This shit ain't a good feeling. Right. You start self-compensating. You start fucking taking pills. You start, you know, drinking and doing hard drugs or whatever. Like, it's easy to succumb.
It's especially easy for you to feel like you're alone in a room full of people. Because regardless of, you know, race or religion or creed or background or anything like that, you could be in a room full of people, and because of the state of your mental health and, you know, the state of your mindset and how your outlook on things, you could be in from all over the world, from different black backgrounds and places, and still feel alone because you feel like none of them are like you. Or you could be from in a room full of people from the same area and the same neighborhood and, you know, people you went to school with, and still feel alone because you feel like, yo, y'all are not like me. Like, you know, it's easy to feel alone. And when that tends to happen, people tend to further isolate themselves. And it's like, yo, I don't even want to hear what these people have to say or open up to these people because I know. And well, not because I know, but in their mind, they think that they'll be ridiculed or, you know, or shot down or, you know, made fun of or seem less than. And, you know, from my experiences, I think it's the opposite. And I think it's to where if you're more vocal about something, I feel like people are more willing to help and be that shoulder or ear that you need, or, you know, or willing to even... to not even take it that far and just at least point you in the right direction. Like, I've seen numerous interactions online where somebody's like, listen, man, I'm not in a good place. People have literally listed hotlines under the post like, yo, you should call this number. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but this is a good way for you to try to at least make an attempt to start dealing with that.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, yo, it's really to see interactions where they like that, because it kind of restores your faith in humanity in this fucked up world that we live in,
and especially in all of what we call social media, because social media is a crazy fucked up place. that we have built. When you see something like that, just an outpour of support, you know, from the Roman Reigns thing to just a normal Joe Schmo who's going through a tough time and everybody's giving him support and it's love and it's real and it's genuine. Right. Really nice to see. And it's just like, hey, we're not all scumbags. You know?
Right.
It's a great feeling. I've had people who have passed, you know, and I've always felt like, damn, you know, if they needed to talk, you know, I wish that I could have been there. That's why I just try to be there for the people who are there, you know, who are here now.
Right.
It's never too late to talk to somebody. Even if you have to write it, even if you have to text it, you know, sometimes that's all it takes.
Send a text. Yeah,
sometimes that's all it takes, man. Just send a little something. Just, you know, can I holler at you for a minute? Like, there was one time where I called TJ from a party. Like, I was just at a point where I was just like, I'm tripping. I'm wilding. Like, yo, I can, like, and I texted him, like, yo, can I holler at you for a minute? Because I'm wilding right now. And it's just, we all need that.
Right.
And we should also start looking at mental health as, you know, it's not a disability. You know, it's just a sickness. It's just something wrong. And, you know, let's give it a little bit more light. It's nothing to joke about. It's nothing to make fun of. Because it's real.
Right.
Very as a person real, who suffers real. Through it, it's real. It's not funny. It's not funny at all.
I also think it's something where, you know, people sometimes about other people's experiences with mental health and, you know, think, hey, you know, that's not me. And it's like, I don't think you grasp how common it is, because honestly, mental health affects everybody. Everybody who has the words are there. Mental health is the state of your health mentally. Like, how do you feel? Like, everybody goes through their ups and downs. Sometimes the downs are harder than, you know, getting back up. Everybody's always been depressed. Everybody's been sad or emotional, or, you know, like, these are things that happen all the time. I just don't think people giving awareness. Sometimes you can get sad to the point where it's really threatening. You can get depressed to the point where, yo, it's threatening. Like, you're not in your right state of mind. Like, you're not in your right, like, you're not making good judgment calls. You're not making smart decisions. You're not, you know, you're not acting based off of logic. You're acting based off of emotion, which is sometimes not the best thing to do. So I think when people are so quick to dismiss mental health and say, yeah, that's not me, it's like, yo, you need to really reassess the situation. And, well, you know, damn, this does apply to me, because I have lost a girlfriend or a boyfriend and slipped into a little bit of a depression. It's my job and I've been able to get money and I still have, like, slipped into a little bit of depression. I just don't want to do anything and I don't want to interact with anybody. I don't, like, it's a lot more relatable and a lot more personable than you think.
I definitely agree. I say this, for people who don't really feel like, oh, whatever about mental health, watch this show on Viceland. It's called Hollywood Love Story. There's an episode, her name's Maddie. She goes by Sneak Lively on Instagram, at Sneak Lively. She suffers from borderline personality disorder. Watch that episode and come and holler at me about mental health. Right. Ain't you? You watched that episode?
Right.
Because, like, I watched it. I know people with BPD. Like, people very close to me with that. And watching that, you know, it's just like, and also from me suffering from, you know, not from the same thing, but something like that, you know, it gives awareness. It sheds a light, and people should watch it. And also, she's just a really dope artist as well. So shout out at Snake Lively. Man, you just have to. I used to joke when I used to take when I used to play hooky from work. I used to say before I was diagnosed or before I started, you know, realizing what was going on with me. I used to say, yeah, I took a mental health day. You know, I used to joke about that. Like, yeah, I took a mental health day. You know, that is not a joke.
I
took it for a joke, but people should definitely, you know, you should definitely do that. You know, definitely take a day for you. You know, we have days off from work, but when you have a day off for you, like sometimes if you just want to lay in bed, right, do that. If you just want to, you know, garden or draw or whatever. I know the grind of life beats down on us and you just feel like, yo, I don't got time to do this. I got to take care of this. I got to take it. Take some time for you. Take some time for you. Right. I beg you.
Right.
Let listening to us be that time for you. You feel me? Because right. I can put podcast
again, go. Another.
What happened?
No, get finished.
No, I was just saying, like, because I could throw on a podcast or whatever, and even though, like, I'm listening to it, I can still carry on about I can still do things with my day and just, you know, just chill. Like, there's plenty of times where I,
right.
like, you can put on us and just chill. But just here's my. Right. Just saying some real shit or whatever. You can talk out loud and agree with them. I've done that before. When I've listened to the Joe Budden podcast, when I've listened to D-Tal, when I've listened to Whatever Face, shout out Hollywood and Melises, shout out Heartbreak Julio, Gino,
right.
Low. When I've listened to The Committee, you know, listening to those guys, like.
Right.
Take some time out for you.
I think another point of view or another aspect of it is, you know, raising awareness for mental health, you know? And not only raising awareness, but doing something to change it and kind of make things better. I know me being an advocate for mental health, I always try to keep an open door policy, no matter who or what is going on. I'd like to think that I opened up the channels of communication where, you know, listeners of the show, people that follow me on social media, people who follow Naj on social media, know me because of the show. You know, if you're ever going through anything or you need somebody to talk to, somebody to, you know, just listen or, you know, yell at or anything like that, you think that, you know, people by now at least know that not only myself, but the Smarts as well, you know, we, you know, the channel for communication is always there. You can always. I know me, I've gone a step further sometimes, and, you know, I've seen posts from different people that, you know, are listeners of the show or, you know, family, and I'm the guy that reaches out and is like, I'll shoot them a DM or a message or inbox or something, and, you know, just ask, like, hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Do you need to talk? Because, again, sometimes you don't know how far you could go by extending that little olive, you know, giving that person to the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I appreciate you for asking. Or say, you know what? I appreciate you for asking because I'm not okay. Like, it's also okay to say that I'm not okay.
Right.
Like, even right now, with everything that I'm dealing with right now, a ton of support and love from a bunch of different people who thank you all. You know, I sincerely appreciate it. And, you know, it's okay for me to say, listen, right now, I'm not okay because of the way things are going on right now. But I know that because I have people who love me and people who care about me and people who are willing to listen, check up on me, that, you know what, eventually, this is not a forever thing. This is the time being. And that's okay. It's okay for you to feel, you know,
be angry or be, you know. Or anything like that, but just know that you do have a support system out there, and things will eventually get better. All you have to do is utilize
it. Definitely. We always hear Instagram, hit us up on Twitter, you know. Definitely hit us up, man.
Right. All of our links are always in the description.
Always, you know, always holler at us. I really don't have any more to say on the subject. I think we really covered all bit. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good too. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else?
I don't know, man. I think that's it for me. With the week that I've been, I haven't really been keep up on so much that's going
on. Right.
Kind of been focused on my own little one, but I think that's everything I wanted to talk about today.
All right. Okay. So, picks. What we got? What you got?
Okay. So, picks for this week. My pick this week is not so much a sleeper. I do have a sleeper that I will, because I know that me and Naj are doing like this little competition thing now. My pick for this week is just song, being as though, you know, this is the mental health awareness node. And this is something that, you know, we will do again in the future. And, you know, we will continue to bring about more awareness. This is something that we will talk about again in the future. The moment that we had kind of kicked around this idea, me and Naj said that for the first episode of that we actually went through and did it, would be my pick. And this is a song that, ironically enough, is from a guy who I am not fucking with at the moment because of, you know, recent decisions and comments made, and he's a very controversial and polarizing figure. But nonetheless, he has made music that has helped me through some of the toughest times in my life. And specifically this one song I always listen to whenever I choose, like whenever I'm going through something rough or am dealing with a rough patch or anything. My pick for this week, Streetlights by off of 808s and Heartbreak. It's a personal favorite song of mine. And like I said, it's one of the songs that, you know, I always listen to whenever I'm just going through something rough. It brightens up my day.
What was the song? I didn't hear it.
Streetlights by Kanye West.
Okay. You used that song before. But you can use it again.
I did that before?
Yeah. You used that one.
I did?
Yeah. It's on the Spark list.
Holy
which
shit.
You can,
right, so
which you can download
can
from Spotify and Apple Playlist and Tidal.
All right, so I got a new one. Because I actually have a few of these songs that I like to listen to whenever I'm dealing with a rough patch. Let's go with, do they have Follow Me by Kid Cudi?
They should follow what? Follow me?
Yeah, Follow Me by... I don't know if they actually have it because it was an unreleased, like... Huh?
What song is that?
It was an unreleased song off of when he was recording On the Moon.
Let me see... Nah, man. They don't got that.
They don't have it? Of course they wouldn't. That song is fire. But for my people who go through it from time to time, just look that song up. Damn, I'm 0 for 2 now. Fuck. My picks suck this week. I don't know. Pick yours and I'll piggyback off that.
Okay. Since I thought we were good, like I've been thinking about this for the past couple days. Like, I thought I was like, you know, I was going to get him this week because we're tied. They said we both had good picks last week. So I was trying to really get you, but I see that we're going to go in a different direction. So I'm going to go with a song that I've been listening to for the past couple days in between looking for a pick. This actually could have been one of my sleepers. It's called Could It Be by Black Milk.
Mm.
Yeah, that's going
to that's a good that's one.
Be my pick. Could It Be?
Oh, I got one. My sleeper pick is going to be Waves by Dean Lewis.
Who?
Wade Dean Lewis. He's a pop artist who had this song pop off for him in 2017. I heard it initially while driving one day, and the hook really is what made me gravitate towards the song. And it kind of deals fits the mold for one of those songs that you would listen to when you're having a day. So,
right.
And I hope our fans like it. I hope you guys fuck with it, man. It's a dope record.
Okay. Well, like we tell y'all, these songs that y'all hear, who have the Anchor app, you also hear on the Smart List, the playlist that we do update after every show. So, if you have Tidal, if you have Apple Music, if you have Spotify, those tracks will be updated on the playlist.
Right.
And Black Milk, Could It Be, and Waves by Dean Lewis.
Right.
So those are the picks. We hope y'all fuck with them. Yo, man, great show. Great talk.
Awesome.
Awesome talk. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, my brother.
Oh, always. Love you, man.
Big shout out to Naj and Will, who have been, really, really good friends this week. Checking on me from time to time and making sure that I'm all right. Can't express how much that means to me. Definitely love you guys. And looking forward to buying our WrestleMania tickets in a few weeks because WrestleMania is coming home. And we are going to reunite in this motherfucker.
Word.
One time for your mind.
I tried to get Will on the show tonight, but he got Red Dead Redemption 2, so he no longer exists.
You know what's funny? I picked up my copy in the morning, so.
He no longer exists. I'm a kick it, man. I'm going to eat some oxtails and some rice. Probably smoke another blunt and watch some TV. I'm doing it right now. I'm probably going to watch that new Mission Impossible Fallout. I heard that shit was fire. So
obviously, the last one was fire, so I'm pretty sure that one's fire, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, like we always do at this time, like we always tell you, man, stay smart, roll with the winners, locate your lighters, man. It's your boy, Naj.
And it's your boy, CJ, signing out.
And we out of here. Gang, gang.
Peace.
Peace.
As humans, we're always close to destruction. Life itself is but a series of close calls. I mean, how would you know you were alive unless you knew you could die?